It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Rocco-less. Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the Sick Podcast. Recruits, DraftCast, as we just said, without Rocco this time, and as he's having a good time in Nashville, lucky him. But we're holding the fort here, and we're reporting on the U18s, which is going on. Not many surprises so far, but a heck of a tournament. We're going to get into that. Today is mostly a U18-based show, so obviously our prospect of the week, if you will, is going to be from the U18s. But Grant has a riser that I think you'll want to hear more about later on, and he's rising. He's rising right into the top of this draft. So without further ado, Grant, let's get started.
Turn up your volume, because you're about to listen to the Sick Podcast. Sick Podcast. Recruits Draft Cast.
With our first pick in the 2022 NHL Draft, the Canadiens de Montréal sont fiers de repêcher from the Slovakian national team and TPS Turku, Juraj Slavkovsky.
The sickest NHL draft and scouting podcast. It's going to be sick.
There we go with the new intro, and Grant is smiling. I knew he'd love it.
That sounds so much better, doesn't it?
Yeah, it sounds really good. I was in the building when that happened. I tell you, I still get chills when I hear it. That was a crazy, crazy night. But Juraj Slavkovsky feels just... I mean, sounds so good. And hopefully we'll know in 6 days who will be selecting first overall in this year's draft, who will be the lucky team getting Macklin Celebrini. Fingers crossed for Les Canadiens, but we'll see when we get there. For now, though, we're more focused on the U18s and the prospects in that tournament. And I mean, so far, it's the underagers that are performing. It's crazy. I mean, here we can bring up the scoring leaders so far. James Higgins is a 2025 draft pick, 16 points so far in the tournament. Gavin McKenna is a 2026 draft pick, 14 points in the tournament. And Porter Marton, Team Canada's captain, underager as well, 2025 draft pick with 13 points. The future of the league is in good hands. Let's just say that. But so far, Grant, as anybody from the future drafts, aside from these guys, I mean, if you want to talk about these guys, we can, but who's stood out to you the most so far?
For the future draft, meaning like 2024, you mean?
Oh, if you want to get to that, yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, obviously, you know, Higgins has been the story of the tournament. He's just, he's a beast. 5 points against Finland, you know. He goes up against Hellenius, who's, you know, projected to go top 15. They go head to head against each other, and he has 5 points, and Hellenius has none. And he doesn't, you know, he's got another year to go before he's eligible. So, I mean, we got a good glimpse of guys that are all going to be in the mix for the top five. I love Malcolm Spence. He doesn't have the same point totals as those other guys, but
he's been great.
Loved him. He's just an all round player. You know, he was great in the summer at the Hlinka. Loved him then. I thought he was the top underage prospect at that tournament. And, you know, he's doing it again for Canada, even if he doesn't have as many points as Marton and Higgins yet. But and Roger McQueen's another one. He got injured, too bad, but he's a really good looking prospect for next year's draft as well. So there's looks like there's going to be a really strong, it's a strong Canadian crop this year for the draft, and next year strong again on Canadians and obviously Hagen's, you know, the, so it's going to be another strong crop at the top of the draft next year. And you know, that's not even talking about Misa, who's playing for Saginaw too, right? So
yeah, still
but Schaefer's look good. The, you know, the young defenseman Aitchison's not looked out of place. I didn't realize that, you know, like said on a on an earlier podcast, I don't really pay attention to these guys during the season because I typically I don't look at a lot of games when I'm video scouting. I look at player specific players. So I don't get to see the, you know, I'm not focusing on the underagers because I just don't have time. You know, I've got to put together a list each year for the draft eligible guys. So I get to see them more at the U18 at the end of the year and at the Halenka because I watch the games because there's so many prospects to watch, to see that, you know, it, and plus I'm a fan, like first and foremost, I love, you know, I just love the junior, the world juniors and the under 18s are great tournaments. And I watch all the game, as many games as I can live. And, you know, really looking forward to the quarterfinal matchups tomorrow, even though there aren't going to be many. I don't think there's going to be a lot of suspense, put it that way.
No, it's been pretty one-sided. I think anybody seeing the lineups before the tournament could have predicted how this is going to go down, and it's been exactly like it. So here we'll bring up the quarterfinal matchups here. So you got the U.S. against Switzerland. Safe to say who's going to win this one. Czechia against Slovakia. I've been disappointed with both teams so far this tournament. So
yeah,
looking forward to seeing who gets out of this one. Finland against Sweden should be a good matchup there. And obviously Canada against Latvia. Yeah, not expecting anything special out of that one.
Yeah. The Canada and U.S. will win.
It's pretty safe.
Czech, Slovak, doesn't matter. Like, whoever wins is going to lose in the next round, I would think, anyway. But that might be a good game. And obviously, Finland, Sweden is always a good game. And I think they're fairly evenly matched. So, you know, this is... There's not a lot of European. It's one of the weakest classes of European prospects at this tournament that I can recall. Last year, there were eight. I think it was eight first round players came from, you know, Scandinavia or Czechia. This year, at the you know, that were playing in the U18s last year, this year it might only be two. Like, I don't know. Yeah. In fact, there might only be two in the top 40, you know, this year, you know.
Wow.
None of the Swedish guys have impressed me as top 40 locks for the draft this year. Certainly none of them look like first rounders. Hemming and Helenius are the only two out of Finland, Sweden, Czechia, and Slovakia at this tournament that look like first rounders. Yeah. So two, you know, and it typically it's at least a half dozen, sometimes up to 10. So not a strong class in Europe this year. It's a year like this, especially when you see how lopsided most of the games are between Canada and the, you know, the teams in their group and US and the teams in their group. It's, you know, I understand why Russia's not there. But it's unfortunate. I think Russia has the strongest draft crop easily out of the, you know, in Europe this year. And it's really too bad because that it, there's really only two strong teams, I think, this year. I don't see Finland being able to hang with Canada. That's likely who they'll play in the semifinals. Mm-hmm. And they just don't have the depth that Canada has this year. I mean, the goalie could stand on his head, but I wasn't overly impressed with the Finnish goalie against the U.S., so I don't think they have that goalie that can steal a game against a lot stronger team, which has sometimes happened in the past. Like, there's no standout goalies, I don't think, in this tournament. So don't see an upset. I'm pretty sure. I'd be shocked if it's not Canada-US in the final, and that'll be a good one. That'll be a good match.
That'll be a great matchup. I'm looking forward to that. Hopefully, you know, assuming that's what it's going to be. But yeah, the battles of the big prospects. I'm excited for it. I'm excited for it big time. There's also playoffs happening right now. We had a few eliminations. Washington's gone. Tampa's gone. Winnipeg's gone. A lot of people are surprised by that one. But if you're feeling the luck, you can bet on these playoffs using Cbet. You can find the best odds on Cbet and get your first bet refunded up to $300 with code SICK. That is code SICK, S-I-C-K. Head on over to Cbet to make some money off of these playoffs, right? You know, if you're going to enjoy some hockey, might as well make it profitable. So go on over to Cbet for that. Grant, let's get into our prospect of the week. This one, I think we're familiar with the last name. He is the brother of Lane, son of Rob. Good friends of the show, that being Cole Hudson. Let's have a look.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Yeah, it could have been. I like Stiga too. Mm-hmm. I think he's had a terrific, but he does get to play with Hagens. Now, Cole he's leading all defensemen in scoring, just like his brother, I guess. You know, does he ever remind you of Lane? They're just looks the same, skates kind of similar, similar size, similar. You know, puck handling ability, very intelligent, competes. There's just a lot that reminds you of Lane. Mm-hmm. And that's not a bad thing. I mean, Lane has overachieved, it's safe to say, since he was picked in the 60s by Montreal a couple of years ago. This is highlights. I decided to do the Finland game because that, you know, the other matchups really weren't good barometers as far as trying to register a player's upside. So here's, if there's one difference there, I think Lane would have got away from the guy, you know, but he's got that same shimmy shake at the line, yeah. Shake and bake that Lane has. Very smart. He's a puck mover, really good vision. He's going to get assists. He's going to step into BU next year, taking Lane's place, presumably, and be running the power play, picking up assists right from the start. But I think what you notice in these highlights is a lot of them are in the defensive zone, that he's he may be 5'10 and 170 pounds, but he's competent defensively. He's here he gets back pretty good. He competes really hard. I think he might even have a little more. He's a little bigger than Lane at the same age. So, and I think he's got a little more physical dimension to his game at the same age. So you'll notice in these highlights, like he competes and he hits. Doesn't matter what size the guy is. I mean, Lane's like that too, but he's got a little more jam to his game, I think, than Lane. So there might be, at this point at least, when you compare the two of them, I think his defensive game is a little more well-rounded. He's a little bigger. Here's a nice hit. But you'll notice a few of these, in a few of these highlights, that he's physical. He's got an edge to his game. So, And what makes that also pretty impressive is the fact that he's been playing about 50% of his capacity. He's had an injury since February, a lower body injury, that still isn't healed up, and he's not even practicing with the team. There's another good hit. So you consider that he's not even practicing because of injury, how physical he's played, that he's leading all defensemen in scoring at the U18s. He's
that's impressive.
He is tied for the lead in plus minus at the U18s. But you see the physical edge that he has to his game. So I don't think the knock about the size, there he is up against Hellenius, kept him to the outside. The knock about his size, I don't think is as relevant as it was for Lane in his draft year because of that. He's a little bigger and got a little more physical dimension to his game. But he broke the mark for career points by U18 defenseman in the program with his 3-assist game against Finland here. He was plus 3. He went up against Hellenius' line the whole game and shut them out, and then as well as picking up 3 assists. So, I mean, there's not a lot negative that I can say about him. I think that much like Lane, here's a nice pass. I think this is a set play right at the start of the period. He hits it off the boards. Hagans picks it up and scores.
What a shot.
Yeah. Yeah.
My God.
But, I mean, that's a smart play, right? Rebound off the boards. Hagans goes in. And 3 seconds into the period, they score. And that sealed the game right there. But he reminds you a lot of Lane. And it's going to be really interesting. Central Scouting has him ranked 55th in North America, which would end of the third type of ranking if, when you include Europeans and goalies. Yeah, they say, end of the third type thing. I really I can't see NHL teams, they're not going to want to make the same mistake they made with Lane.
Exactly.
I mean, the old man owns a friggin' rink. They practice, he's going to only get better over the next 2 years. He's only going to get great coaching and mentoring and BU. Picked to going to college, he'll have 4 years to develop if that's what an NHL team deems that he needs. Although, as we saw with Lane, it was 2 years later, right? He may not have Lane's, complete offensive upside, even though he scored more points than Lane did at the junior level. But it's not far off if he doesn't. And I don't know that he quite has the jukes at the blue line that Lane had, but Lane's really special in that regard. He's just,
not many do what he does.
No, but he's a little bigger. And I think that there's maybe a little more, you're a little more certain about his, ability to defend
right
at this age. So he's a safer prospect than Lane. Even if his ceiling is maybe not quite as high, but his floor is higher. So I gotta think that he's going somewhere in the second round for sure. Maybe a team even looks like, if he keeps you know, if he's a top defenseman at the U18s and keeps playing as well as he did. And obviously the big litmus test for him will be Canada, right? How does he,
exactly.
Cause Canada's got a big team. They've got a lot of first rounders, a lot of guys that are going to be first rounders, top 10 guys next year, big team, big forwards. That'll be the supreme test for him. And if he, you know, if he plays like he did against Finland, against Canada, you can't deny that he's a good prospect, and maybe teams look at him at the end of the first round. Like it's a possibility.
Absolutely.
Do I see him going higher than, you know, late first? Probably not, because of the size. It's still, you know, you look at the playoffs and there are not a lot of 5'10 defensemen playing at this time of year. It'll hurt him a bit on draft day. It's just the way it is. It's like a 5'10 quarterback doesn't get picked in the first round of the NFL draft. You just, no matter how good you are. But it'll be so interesting to see what NHL teams, you know, I'd love to be a fly on the wall, you know, at the meetings, because there'll be teams saying, hey, and it's funny, like if, obviously you don't expect Montreal to pick him, right?
Yeah.
They've got Cole. They're not going to have 2 5'10" left defensemen, you know? But I mean, you know, if he's there, I don't know what Montreal's picks are. They've got one in the second, I believe.
Yep.
But it's fairly
high in the second. Yeah.
Right. But if he's sliding, you know, and Montreal's got extra picks, all these picks, you never know where he'd say, hey, an asset's an asset.
Right.
It'd be great to have brothers in the same organization. Let's pick them. And, you know, if he develops like Lane does, what kind of, you know, in a couple of years or down the line, teams would offer a lot for him.
Exactly. You know,
in a trade. Mm. It wouldn't shock me if Montreal even has those discussions. If the NHL teams didn't learn from the mistake with Lane and they're going to do the same thing with Cole, you know, let's take them. Exactly. That would be so cool if it ended up happening, but I'm not expecting it for obvious reasons. Montreal's loaded on the left side.
Mm-hmm.
They already have their smaller left defenseman, you know, that can run a power play in Lane. So it wouldn't be expected, but certainly if he drops to anywhere where close to where Central Scouting is predicting, if he's in the third round, Montreal wouldn't pass on
him. Oh, no, of course not. He's, you know, I don't think he's making it past the second. Like,
well, that's it. You know, that's
it's so rare that teams have a chance to make up for a mistake, right? All 31 other teams passed on Lane, and they shouldn't have. Now they see it. Why? So you have essentially a carbon copy of this guy, and he's available again. So I honestly wouldn't be shocked if he went out in the first. Early second, he's not making it past the second. Third round is absurd. For sure, at least one team is going to wise up and give him a chance. Like, if he becomes even close to a player like Lane, you got yourself a diamond there. So, I mean, the Hudson genes are strong. Their work ethic is strong as well. You mentioned their ice rink. If you haven't watched, by the way, if you haven't watched our show with Rob Hudson, please do so. It was fantastic. We learned so much. You can go on over to our channel and check it out after you're done watching this one. Okay. After you're done watching this one. But Grant, if we get back to the U18s for a second, you know, obviously Cole Hudson is our prospect of the week, but there's other draft eligible prospects 2024 that are playing in that tournament. I want to ask you about Tiija Ginla. He's got some eyes on him for Team Canada, right? Expectations, you know, there's been talks about being top five. We're fairly high on him. How have you found his tournament so far? Has he met expectations?
Well, combined with the end of his playoff and the start of the tournament, he's not been hasn't looked top five, but he still looked good. You know, like, I mean, he's still he's still playing well.
Yeah.
I'm a little concerned about just losing the puck. Maybe trying to do too much with it, but not being an elite stick handler necessarily. Not certainly not in the same league as the kid that we're gonna focus on in a few minutes when it comes to that. But you know, I don't know. I mean, he's not as tough as his old man. He's not as big. People like to, well, you know, he's going to be just like his dad because he's his son. But typically that's not how it turns out. Yeah. Like, it's rare that, you know, a player is a carbon copy of his dad. Like Brett Hull wasn't as tough and strong as Bobby. You know, he was a different type player. He wasn't as well-rounded as Bobby Hull. Wendell Clark's son, Graham, nothing like Wendell as a player. Max Domi, different player from Ty Domi, you know. They don't – they got their mom's genes too, right? It's not – they don't just get the genes from their dad, right? So
yeah.
You got to be a little careful with that. Yeah, you like the pedigree part of things, but don't be expecting a player to be exactly the same as a Hall of Fame dad, you know?
It's big shoes to fill. Big shoes
right,
to fill.
Right. But that being said, he's going to be a goal scorer. He's a goal scorer. You know, he'll pop a lot of goals. I don't know that he'll drive an offense. But that's okay too, right? Mm-hmm. We're not looking to pick him first overall or what have you. But his size is average, you know, 6 foot, thick kid. But I don't think he's going to be bring a physical dimension really to his game. That's not, you know, so he's not as well rounded as the old man, right? Mm-hmm. In that regard, you have to. And he's a winger too. I mean, he's not playing with the best players on Canada either. They've put him on a, you know, kind of a second, third line, you could even say, which was what the same in Kelowna too. He wasn't necessarily always playing with the best players. So, but I've liked him. I don't think he's hurt his stock necessarily. Maybe I think a guy has passed him that we're going to discuss there in a few minutes. And, I'll get into the reasons for that, but I, you know, I think he's been fine. What about yourself? Do you,
I mean, 5 points in four games, how can you be mad at that? Right. It's 4 goals in 4 games. He's a goal a game guy. Yeah. Well, again, I think,
and you know, I mean, the teams he played against, even Sweden,
like we mentioned earlier, the real test will be the U.S. right?
Yes,
that will be very telling. Who steps up in that game? Finland. Obviously, that should be the gold medal game if everything goes according to plan, right? So you know, tougher
finals and finals will be the
exactly
what I really, you know, I mean, Sweden to a certain extent important game, but the other games, I don't put a lot of stock in them because they were just, you know, they outclassed those teams.
That's it.
But the semifinals for sure. And the final, and even Latvia always, they compete, right? Mm-hmm. So they'll have to work and they'll have to fight through some stuff. And so it'll be important too. It's the medal round is the most important part, especially when you're in a group that didn't have strong teams. So
for sure. For sure. Right now,
Finland, I mean, if they play Finland, that'll be a great game to scout in the semis. And then the final, if they're there against, hopefully they're there against US, and then you get a really good idea.
Big time, big time. That's when, you know, the opponent's tougher and the games matter most. You know, that's when you want to see the big players rise up. And, you know, that's a good opportunity for Tiche to show that he does belong in the top five. But I've not been disappointed. And I think what's hurting him in a sense is maybe the comparisons, right? Like you're playing on a team with Gavin McKenna and Porter Marton, who are just crushing it. So these are younger guys that are outshining this guy who is, you know, a bit older. And here, might as well, hold on a second, we'll pull up the scoring leaders. But I want to ask you about two guys from the U.S. team now, Trevor Connolly and Cole Eiserman. Here, we'll see their stats. So Connolly has 8 points in 4 games, 4 goals, 4 assists, very balanced. And then Cole Eiserman has 6 goals, 3 assists for 9 points in 4 games. I mean, he's had, you know, he has to prove himself in this one. And obviously, right, the opponents have been great, but nonetheless, he's showed up. You can't deny him that. So what have you thought about those two?
Jewelry isn't a gift you give just once. It's a way to remind your loved one of a beautiful moment every time they see it. Blue Nile can help you find the gift that says how you feel and says it beautifully, with expert guidance and a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Go to BlueNile.com and experience the convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999. That's BlueNile.com to find the perfect jewelry gift for any occasion. BlueNile.com.
I think the most pertinent stat that you see there, you know, you see Stiga plus 11, Hagen's plus 10, you know.
Zero.
He's zero.
Yeah.
They're goal differential is plus 26, and he's even in the plus minus. That tells you something, you know. I don't like his play away from the puck, and it hasn't been much different here. He'll now and then he'll compete at a decent level, but he's not him scoring 6 goals against the teams that they played against doesn't impress me necessarily, because we know what he is. We know he's going to score goals. Like, he's not helping his draft stock by scoring 6 goals against, you know, Latvia and Switzerland and the teams that they played against. He's not hurting his draft stock. I still think he's a 10 to 15 guy mm-hmm. for the draft, but he's not doing anything to change my mind to say, oh, okay, he's competing now. He's playing hard away from the puck. There was one highlight in particular at the end of the Latvia game where, you know, he's trying to break Cole Caulfield's goal record, right?
Mm.
Well, that's fine. He still had 3-4 games left to do it, but the score 7-1. There's like 15 seconds left and he gets set up and he misses the net and his stick goes up in the air and he's looking at the heavens. He slams his stick. Even in the faceoff, he's still shaking his head and all that. Like, come on. Was that like the difference between you winning the game and losing the game? It was 7-1 with 15 seconds left in the game. Like, it just rubbed everybody the wrong way, and scouts the same thing. Like, you know, the body language bothers you like that. You got to think it's got to be about the team. You'll mm-hmm. give lots of time to break that record. He'll break it. Like, so what? He missed a scoring chance with the score 7-1 with 15 seconds left. It just really bothers me. And it's one of the knocks on him. And until he, you know, he's got some maturing to do, and it's got to be not all about himself. And I mean, we're still seeing it. He's, you know, he's even in plus minus on a team that's beating teams 10-0 or 10-1. How do you do that? Like, it takes some work, you know, you take some work to beat. If you just look at he's got 6 goals. Well, let's move him up into the top 10. Well, that's not how it works. You watch him play. You watch him away from the puck. You watch him compete. You watch him, you know, body language. All of the things that are concerns are mm-hmm. still concerns. So there's some question marks with him. I don't think an NHL team's going to take him in the top 10 because of it. I mean, the top 10 strong, right?
Very strong.
So I just, you know, yeah, 6 goals is nice, but let's see how he does against Canada. You know, that'll be the real. I mean, if he plays a strong two-way game, looks like he really cares, you know, is unselfish, scores a couple goals. I don't even care if he scores a couple goals, but if he does, you know, plays really well away from the puck, competes, and shows that it's about team for him, that's what will impress me, and that's what might rise him up in my rankings, but not what I've seen so far.
Mm-hmm.
Connolly, yeah, he's been, you know, he is what he is. He competes. He's got some skill.
But Grant, he scored a Michigan. He scored a Michigan, Grant.
Yeah, right. Again, I don't know. That doesn't help your draft stock, especially when you're another guy that obviously there's character concerns about, you know. That's going to hurt him on draft day. I mean, let's just face facts, you know. There's a couple of incidents that happen. It's not just one, it's two, you know, and when there's more than one, it's, you know, he's another guy that you could argue might have top 10 potential, but undersized, he's slight, winger, still see some, a little bit of hot dog stuff that,
yeah,
not necessarily going to, you know, convince people that, oh, he's matured. And he's, you know, he's not gonna be a somebody that's a question mark down the road. So, does he go top 15? That's a good question. You know, top 15 talent for sure,
mm-hmm.
but there's questions there, and there's other good prospects in the top 15. So, I don't know. I expect him to go somewhere from 15 to 30 in the draft.
Let's see
now, Stiga, that's the kid that,
yeah,
for me, that, you know, it's, if he was 2 inches taller, he'd be in the top 15 mix, you know. Man, every time I watch that kid, he's skilled, he's a talented player, and yeah, he gets to play with Hagans, but he's you know, he's scoring some nice goals and making some nice plays. He's always involved in the offense. He creates a lot of chances. So he's been interesting. Might be a top 40 guy. Like, that's the guy that is rising,
mm-hmm.
as far as I'm concerned. If you wanted to name a US forward that's helped his draft stock at the U18 so far, it's been Stiga. He's really standing out. Zimmer, you know, is strong again. He's a really smart, competitive kid, but he's on the top line too. But, you know, you have to, the coaches love him, and that's not a bad thing, right? When you're on the top line, yeah, you can dock a guy for being on the top line, but you can also, he's earned it. He's earned, you know, Eisenman's not on the top line. This kid is. So why is that? Well, because he's the coach's dream. So he's got a high floor, and you always like that. He might end up, even though he's not a great skater, even though he's not the biggest kid, he's smart, competitive, leader. He might go in the second round. So Hellenius was a little disappointed with him against the U.S. Hasn't scored a goal in the tournament, you know. Seven mm-hmm. assists is nice. He's a playmaker. He hasn't played poorly, but again, I don't think he's helped his draft stock. None of the guys that are in the top 15 mix, and that includes Greentree, have upped their draft stock with me. I think it's guys that are competing outside of the U18s that have come up a little bit. So
that's it. We'll get to that one in just a second, but just to follow up on the Cole Eisenman thing, right? I'm the first guy to bash the plus minus as a stat. I feel like it's a useless stat unless you have such a high discrepancy, like in this one. You see, his teammates are plus 11, plus 11, plus 11, plus 10, and he's a zero, there's no excuse for that, right? Oh. So that's too much, and that becomes telling. So I do have to agree with you on that one. Exactly. So let's get to your prospect of the month, the biggest riser so far of the year, I think, because you're going to have some pretty interesting comments. And we mentioned him on the show a few times already, but rightfully so. And we mentioned him again. That is Beckett Seneca.
Yeah. Well, I'm, you know, April's just finished, and he had a fantastic April. I mean, he's been the best. He's been the talk of the OHL playoffs. I start this off with some hits. He's had 15 hits in the OHL playoffs. And just by comparison, somebody else that's in the top 10 mix is, Dickinson. Mm-hmm. He's had 3.
Oh.
And he's a defenseman. So one of the many reasons why I now have Seneca ahead of Dickinson. And I know that a lot of people are going to say, oh, that's crazy. But, oh, no, it's not. Believe me, this kid's rising and fast. But you can tell by these highlights that he's competing hard. Now, that wasn't necessarily always the case in the first half of the year. And, it showed. Look at that pass. It showed in the his point totals were matching his lack of compete. Here I'm showing a few of his recent points, including against North Bay. And his vision is just it's top of the draft. But what's the most impressive is his hands. Reminds me a lot of Jason Spezza. And we'll see some highlights a little later that only accentuate that. At the end, I've got his his deeks so far in the playoffs, and mm-hmm. it's been crazy. I think to be honest with you, this kid's rising fast. It's just been, he was in the top 15. I kept him stubbornly in the top 15 for most of the year, even when he wasn't producing, because you saw the talent. But the second half of the year, he was excellent. And in the playoffs, he's been even better. Now, look at these moves. Yeah. That didn't end up being a goal.
Puck on the screen.
It's just with his length and his hands and his vision. His skating is only going to get better. He's grew 3 inches in the last year. Now I think he's a size 14 skate or something like that. So there's been, he's had to work on his balance, his strength, his coordination, all that stuff is only going to get better. You're looking, you see some of the hits here, like competitive. Mm-hmm. I love his competitiveness. It's shone through in the playoffs here. I think that the fact that he's second in the OHL in scoring in the playoffs at this point, 1 point behind Richie, 8 goals, 19 assists. Points in 13 yeah. games. Look at this. That's the goal against Ottawa, jaw dropper. Here you'll get a better.
Yeah. No quit.
Yeah, but just his hands, and with that length, he's gonna be a producer at the NHL level. I love his upside, and that's what you got to do. You project upside. Mm-hmm. I know a lot of guys who will look at look at his point totals for the year. Okay. But look at his point totals in the second half and in the playoffs. You want to see these guys improving? Check this out.
Oh, come on.
And then
that man has a family.
And then the finish, things have changed, like a month or two ago, it looked like six of the top nine prospects for the draft were defensemen.
Mm-hmm.
Today, you could argue that five of the top seven are forwards. So there's been a shift. I mean, you know, I'm not saying that that's definitely, look at this. I'm not saying that that's definitely what's going to happen, but it wouldn't shock me. And tell me that that's not good news for Habs fans.
Right? Yeah, that's it. That's it.
You know, the desperate.
You can't go wrong.
Desperate to get a look at, like, he just, one of the, like, since Spezza, there's not been a lot of guys with hands. You know, there's McDavid and, you know, there's been a few, like, obviously Kane. You can name a few in the draft, but he's got just silky, silky mitts. That ended up being a goal that was called back. But you just see it with these highlights, just at how shifty he is. And the mitts are just outstanding. Like, there's quite a few highlights there where he didn't score, but he came damn close. And again, here, like, just, and you see the vision. Puck protection is great. Great length. Vision top notch. Like, he's, I see him being a 40 to 50 assist guy in the NHL. Mm-hmm. Look at that move. Eh? I know we had that one before, but that one was worth seeing again. And, first line winger potential all day. Now, for me at this point, I think, you have to consider him to be jumping ahead of Vigilla.
Mm-hmm. Now, yeah.
He's got an extra 2 inches of height. Look at that. Like, Vigilla is shifty. He's got a nice toe drag and stuff, but his hands aren't, they're not in the same ballpark as Seneca. Sorry. I know we've been calling him Seneca all year, but it's Seneca as I've come to discover, you know. I'm at the 67s games and they're announcing Seneca. I'm watching a few games and listening to the, in the playoffs, and everyone's saying Seneca. So, like, Seneca College, it's Beckett. Mm-hmm. Seneca. That's fine. I think Seneca sounds cooler, but hey, I didn't name it. We're going to go just like Mayu. That's the way they pronounce it. That's the way I'm going to pronounce it. So, you know, if that's how the family name's pronounced, then it's Seneca. And that's kind of cool that finally got that figured out before the draft. But I've got him top five now, and I'm not. If this keeps up, it's going to be a rise. Like I don't know if you remember Huberdeau with St. John when they went all the way to the Memorial Cup.
That was
and
special.
He just kept rising up another notch. Mm-hmm. Ended up going top three. Wouldn't shock me if Seneca went top three and maybe even top two at this point.
There we go.
It's just, there's so much upside there. He's got to fill out, and he's only going to be better skater then. He's only going to be, and he's competitive, but with another 25 pounds on him, 20, 25 pounds with his, you know, you can see that he's got an edge to his game too. That hit, I was at the game, I think it was one of the first highlights where he just smoked the Ottawa 67s guy, just nailed him. And you like that, the Canadians are looking for that. They're looking for a 6'2 winger that'll hit, that will compete, that will show up at playoff time, that will, I think he's a point per game guy plus once, you know, that's his upside at the NHL level. First line winger with size, upside, competitiveness. He's right in the mix with Lindstrom and Demidov now. And I think he's jumped ahead of Vigilla, even though we both, you know how much I love Vigilla too.
Oh, right? I love him too. Yeah.
So to me, there's five legitimate top seven candidates for the draft now, and he's one of them at forward. So the Canadians, even if they fall back two spots,
can't go wrong.
I think they're probably going to get one of the five best forwards. And for me, they're all legit top 10 guys for sure. So, as I say, there's been a bit of a shift. 2 months ago, you wouldn't have said there could be five forwards even going in the top 10, I don't think. Certainly not the top eight. Yeah. And now it wouldn't surprise me if, it depending on teams' needs, wouldn't surprise me if there were five forwards taken in the top eight, and Seneca being one of them, and perhaps even being the second forward taken after Celebrini. So,
it's not that far of a stretch, right? You look at the profile. It's 6'2", 175, with room to fill in. He's got that edge, like you mentioned, Grant. Like he's already playing a physical style. He's performing when it matters most. 19 points in 13 playoff games. He's got those silky hands. He moves well.
Clutch.
I mean,
he scored clutch goals. Yeah. He's like a couple of those goals, the end-to-enders were overtime, you know. He's been the difference maker. He's been the best player in the OHL playoffs for my money. And it's not often that's a draft eligible guy that does that. It matters a lot, and it matters that he's improved mm-hmm. as the seasons went along. It matters that going into the year, he was considered a top 10 guy. He put up really good points as a 16-year-old. So it's not like he's come out of nowhere. It was expected going into the year, and now we're seeing it at the most important time of the year. Yeah. No, his upside is great. And honestly, if you ask me, would I prefer that the Habs pick Demidov, Lindstrom, or him? It's not an easy answer for me right now.
Tough call.
I think he'd be a perfect addition to the Canadiens. Like if he ends up being on your second line, wow, you know, Doc Senecky, second line. Whoa. That's,
you're cooking with fire here.
Well, I just think he's a perfect fit for the Canadiens, you know? Mm-hmm. So at this point, if, you know, you ask me who would I prefer that the Canadiens pick, if I recommended between him and Aginla, right now, I'm leaning towards Seneca. So,
man,
it's nice. Nice to have the options.
You got to be excited about this. Now, Grant, you mentioned Demidov, and we've been so high on him all season long, but
absolutely,
there have been injury concerns. And most recently, we'll see here, he hurt his knee again. Again, a weird collision, but another knee, right? And it's bad. It's bad. We can see that there.
Can we show that again?
Yeah, hold on. Let me pull it up.
You see how awkwardly, it's not possible to slow that down. Just watch. Yeah, it's too bad. It doesn't really.
Yeah. Oh. We need to zoom in, but it's an awkward collision. And
I'd be afraid that he's tore his ACL. You know.
There you go. So those are injuries that could be lingering, right? Well, sensitive knees, prone to injury.
Yeah.
It's a factor. It's a factor, and it's something you have to consider. So is it at all impacting your ranking so far, or is it too early?
Yeah, no. I mean, try to find out more about it. Find out what exactly the injury is. What is it, the same knee as... You know, I believe he had a knee injury earlier in the year, and that's why he was out. Is it the same knee? Is it an ACL? How severe is it? It could be ACL, MCL. Like, it could be multiple tears, you know. Could be out a year. Like, we'll see. It'll depend on the severity of it and whether it's the same knee, whether, you know. Teams will get all that information at the combine, hopefully. Again, the problem with that being that these guys, you don't get a lot of information from Russia right now. No. So it could affect them. When you add on the fact that didn't get to see him live all year, there could be repercussions with his knee. He's Russian. There'll always be the go back to Russia option for him if he doesn't like the way he's being treated or whatever. So you add everything in. He's in SKA and they hate young players. So will he even play in the KHL next year more than 3 minutes a game or whatever they typically do? Surely they're not going to put him back in junior again next year. He just dominated. So as much as I love this kid, all of that stuff will have to be weighed. And, I still have him too right now, but the way Senecky's coming on, the potential at Lindstrom, Parekh, if Parekh has is great down the stretch here and in the Memorial Cup, he's in the mix too for number two. But I think you have to close the gap a little bit, because of that. And we'll know better after we find out the severity of the injury. Hopefully we find that out. But
that's it.
I don't think he was a runaway as the number two guy, even though because of the things that I mentioned before the injury. So it might concern teams, enough that maybe even the Habs have a shot at him, right? Like, it wouldn't surprise me if Seneca and Lindstrom went ahead of him.
Hmm.
Like, just because not every team wants Russians. Like, it's, six teams passed on Michkov last year, so we'll see. But, it's not beyond the realm of possibility that he drops to five or wherever the Habs are, and that, Bobrov will have the book on him, right? His old man's involved with SKA. He's there's not a guy in a front office that's like a head scout North America that has the pipeline that he does. So
yeah,
if Montreal passes on, then you'll know that there's underlying factors because they'll have the book on him. Injury, his character and all that. But everything I've heard about him, and you see it in games where he's just his teammates love him. He's smiling all the time. He's a character kid. So I don't think there's any character issues there. And I've heard that he's just a great kid. So, it's nice to have options, right?
A
month or two ago, it was, we got to get either Lindstrom, Demidov, or Celebrini. And it was just, and now, you've got choices, options. Good choices.
Yeah, yeah.
Even Katten, still a lot of, fans want Katten.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't blame, 116 points or whatever in his junior, even Katten could be a possibility for a team like the Habs, even though I don't see the perfect fit there. But so it's and then there's also Cole Eisenman, right?
in the mix.
If that's your seventh best forward and he's going to set a record that, Cole Caulfield had for goals, but that's not bad. It just shows you the depth as it's turned out in the top 15 of this class. And
absolutely.
It's a good year to miss the playoffs.
Seemingly the next 2 years will be good as well, because you'll be in the running for James Higgins or Gavin McKenna. So, but that'll be, that won't be in the Habs. Hopefully they'll be in the right direction by then. But some other team will be lucky and get those guys. But we're not there yet. We're still focused on the 2024 draft. And by next week's show, we're going to know which team will be picking first. Don't forget to watch the NHL draft lottery. May 7th. Okay. May 7th, the draft lottery. And in the meantime, there's still the U18s, right? Still the U18s quarterfinals starting tomorrow. And I don't know. Will we know the winner by next week? I forget. When's the game?
Yeah. May 5th is the final, I believe.
There it is. Yeah. May 5th is the gold medal game for the U18s. So we will know the winner by next week's show. And there's still NHL playoffs, right? So yep. Go on over to CBET to find the best odds to end. Your first bet will be refunded up to $300 using code SICK, S-I-C-K, SICK. So make those playoffs profitable. Go get yourself some money. Have fun. Bet responsibly, as always. Grant, any parting remarks on your end?
Well, I don't know. Are we going to do a live podcast of the during the draft lottery or what?
We'll have to talk to the boss about that, right? We got to talk to the boss, but yeah. That would be fun. If you want us to go live for the draft lottery, leave us a comment. we've done live before, so it's an option. If enough people want us to do it, we might.
Yeah. There you go. I'm really looking forward to it. I mean, at this point, I'm, you know, with all of the forwards that have come up my rankings, it's not obviously Celebrini would be the ultimate, but the odds are pretty low. So, you know, I'm not going into it expecting the Canadians to get Celebrini.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, if somehow they end up with the top pick and they get Celebrini,
oh,
they're winning a cup, at least one down the road with the group they have. They're going to win a cup if they get Celebrini. So it's exciting, you know, in that regard that, hey, let's hope that they can pull a rabbit out of the hat and win the lottery again.
Rub some bald heads, get your rabbit's foot, whatever you do, any superstition, all the luck needs to be brought to the Habs. And if you cheer for another team, well, do your routine for your team. Doesn't matter. We're all hockey fans at the end of the day. So we want Celebrini to go to the best team possible for him. And we just think it's the Habs, okay? We just think it's the Habs. The fit is there. He goes to see his buddy Lane Hudson, right? Gets to play under Martin Saint-Louis. Anyways, you know the drill by now. But we thank you all for tuning in, as always. We love your comments. Let us know if you want us to go live for the draft lottery. I think it's an option. We got to talk to the boss. Got to talk to the boss. But it's definitely an option. So don't forget to leave a subscribe, leave us a comment, leave us a like. And we will see you next week.
And that's a wrap. Hope you don't miss us too much until next time. Follow the Sick Podcast, Recruits Draftcast on YouTube, Facebook, Google Play, and Apple Podcasts.